Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
We're going to step away from Genesis tonight because the Lord's laid something upon my heart. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Lord just kind of laid this on my heart. I guess today, some things that I've read, I'm going to read some of these clippings. I've actually clipped them out of a paper that I received. Some things that are very startling. And before I get started, I'm worried that not only are a lot of Christians around the world have their head in the sand when it comes to exactly what's going on in our world today, but I'm worried about some of our own folks in this church who may have their head in the sand, may not really have the spiritual vision to see what is happening right now in the day in which we live. I believe that we are living in the last hours of the last days. And we are experiencing some very sinful, very sad, and tragic times in our society today. And God has given us the obligation that you and I, as His children, do something about that. And we can pray, and we can witness, we can be faithful, and we can decide that we're not going to be a bunch of hypocrites. Folks are going to hell every second. And many folks in hell, no doubt, when they stand before the great white throne judgment, if they're summoned to speak, or if they can speak, I believe that they'll be naming people's names that they profess to be Christians, and they didn't live right. I thought if I was just as good as they were, and I don't want my name to be part of that group. I don't want anybody to point a finger and say, I watched his life, and his life didn't line up with what he was saying, so I thought it was okay. I thought I was going to be okay, and now I'm in hell. I don't want anybody to speak in that manner concerning Lee Benton. We need to straighten up. We need to straighten up. Sometimes I wonder why God just don't take some people on to heaven who are being a hindrance to the gospel. They live like the devil where they work. And they tell folks to go to church, and yet they don't have God on them. And folks are just dying and going to hell all around us. And we do as that blind man did when the Bible says Jesus touched him. Jesus said, what do you see? And he says, I see men as trees walking. I think many times in our Christian life we get away from God and we don't have a heart for souls of men and women, boys and girls. And we pass folks at the Walmart, the service stations, at our jobs, where we may be, and we just see them as trees. We just pass them as if they're just trees in a forest. And God had to do a work. He touched the man's blinded eyes and caused him to see, but He had to touch him again to give him a real desire for the souls of other people. And I'm not here to question your salvation tonight, but I am here to encourage you that you and I need a special touch from God, that we might have spiritual vision, that we might see that folks all around us are going to hell every single day. And I don't want to have blood on my hands when I stand before the Lord. Preacher, I witness. I talk about God. Well, does your talk line up with your walk? I'd rather I'd rather someone that walked the walk be seen by my family that's on their way to hell than to have somebody that talks a good talk. Because the sinner knows who's real and who's not. They can identify their own people. They can identify their own kind. And so I'm concerned tonight, and I can't go to every church in town or across the county or country or the world, but I am the pastor here, and I want to encourage you. You know that I'm not just here to draw a salary. I'm here that you might be saved, you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may continue to keep a fire in your heart to see sinners saved. When this church gets to the place where it's not concerned about the salvation of sinners, this church might as well shut the doors down. It's about sinners getting saved. And once they're saved, it's about you and I taking them under our wings, encouraging them in the things of Almighty God. So I'd like to begin reading verse number 1. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to read some of these verses tonight. We're going to look through the whole chapter. There are 17 verses that we have recorded here. And we're not going to read for the sake of time all these verses, but we'll kind of go through here and pick some out that I want to read to you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you want me to give you a title, I guess I'd simply would title this message, Perilous Times Are Here. Perilous Times Are Here. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." The Bible says that covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. The Bible goes on to say, verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than the lovers of God." Then verse 5, the Bible says that they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers or various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse number 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The Bible says in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By the way of introduction, I want to tell you that 2 Timothy has been called by many the last will and testament of the Apostle Paul. This is believed to be the last letter, or the last epistle that Paul wrote before his head was taken off his shoulders by Nero, the king of the Roman Empire. Paul is writing this letter, and of course it is ordained for you and I and preserved for you and I, the New Testament church today, to read and study and to glean from. But he's writing this letter originally to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he is sharing his heart, his desire for his son in the faith, and he is saying that Timothy is the one that he's handing his mantle down to. Much like when Elijah handed his mantle down to Elisha to continue the work. I'm glad tonight that although Paul died, a great man of God, the work of God just kept on going. I've said this many times, and I've heard someone say it today on the phone. They said, you know, when we're dead and gone, God's still going to be God. I'm glad for that tonight. Some of the greatest men of God have passed death-chilling waters. They've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but the preaching, teaching of the Word of God continues on because He is eternal. I just imagine what I would like to say to someone that I was handing the mantle down to. I would like to be here so long that I could have a preacher under me that I was training and was very receptive of what I was trying to teach him and show him, and knowing that our church would follow him, and knowing that I may only have a few days of life left, and maybe I was up in great age. And I can just imagine what I would say to that person concerning this church, concerning the work of God here in Flowery Branch. And you can just read these four chapters and you see the heart of Paul as he's speaking to Timothy. Timothy is going to continue this ministry on that Paul is about to finish his course, but the ministry must continue on. And so I just imagine what I would say if someone was to continue the ministry on that I was involved in. I thought about how Paul wrote about some issues that he faced. And I thought about how that Paul talked about some things that Timothy would face. He said, Timothy, I've learned some things through the Holy Spirit of God. I've learned some things through the book of God. And I just want to share those things with you tonight. And if you'll listen, God will bless you and God will use you and God will prepare you for a great work after I'm dead and gone. And so there's just some things I want to show you tonight. Simple things that I've wrote down in my Bible that when I got reading some of these news clippings, I couldn't help but think of this chapter. And the first thing I want you to see when we talk about the subject of perilous times have come, I want you to see, number one, the credibility of the divine scriptures. The credibility of the divine scriptures. I'm glad that this book is a truthful book. I'm glad that this book is a book that has no errors. It's an infallible, inerrant book. It's that way because it's God's book. It came from the heart of God, a God that is true, a God that is holy, a God that is righteous, a God that is pure. So the Scriptures, thank God, that we love, that we read, that we saturate our lives with, and the Scriptures that we're preaching tonight, has credibility. I'm talking about the credibility of the divine Scriptures. Look at verse number 1. This know also. Paul is saying that it's not a guessing game, Timothy. I know there's some things that are uncertain in your life. Some things that you don't know what's going to happen from day to day. But there is something that I can tell you that's going to happen. He's been inspired by the Holy Ghost of God to pen these words down. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Of course, you and I know that the word perilous means hazardous or dangerous. Paul is saying that in the last days, now the last days is referring to the days before the Lord raptures the church out, before the tribulation period enters upon sinful mankind. The last days, hazardous, dangerous times shall come. Now, over 1,900 years ago, God instructed the Apostle Paul to write those words down. Here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and I would say, with all my heart, that the Scriptures have come to be true. We are in hazardous, dangerous times. If you're a Christian, you understand we're living in perilous times. You know, I can't predict what's going to happen in an hour from now. I can't tell you tomorrow how I'm going to feel. You can't do it either. You have no idea what's going to happen in your life tonight. But the Word of God is a book of prophecy. And many of those prophecies and many of those predictions have been fulfilled already. And those that have not, you mark it down, one day they will be. This book will prevail. There's no argument tonight that we're living in dangerous times. There's no argument tonight that we're living in hazardous times. And God's Word was right about this, and God's Word is right about everything that it says and teaches and preaches. The credibility of the divine Scriptures. Even when the scientists and the archaeologists and those that cling to the theory of evolution and the scoffers rise up and they try to place doubt on God's Word, the Bible always and will always continue to prevail. Hallelujah. You can mark it down. That precious book you hold in your hand or set there in your lap this evening, it will prevail. It'll come out on top. The credibility of the divine Scriptures. The Bible says it's the only book that is forever settled in heaven. No other religious book. Some books are fine. I've got a library full of books. I've got books everywhere. I love to read. But those books are not settled in heaven, forever settled. Those books sometimes have errors, sometimes has flaws. But God's book will stand the test of time. I tell you, we're living in perilous times. I'd like to read some things to you, if you'd allow me tonight. Some things that I read that disturbed my spirit. The heading of this says, the tax court rules that sex change operations are tax deductible. On February the 2nd, the U.S. tax court ruled that a man who had a so-called sex change operation could deduct the cost of the surgery from his taxes. That man who had the surgery was defended by the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, GLAD. In its ruling, the tax court stated the evidence supports the conclusions that many people suffer from severe GID, gender identity disorder. Thank God I don't have that disorder. They just made that up because there ain't such thing. And I did use the word ain't to place emphasis on it. There ain't such thing. Gender identity disorder. And that GID is well recognized and a serious mental disorder. And that hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgeries are considered appropriate and effective treatments for GID by psychiatrists and other mental health professionals who are knowledgeable concerning this condition. The Bible says in this chapter that they're ever learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Next headline says, U.S. gives Yale researcher $3.9 million in tax dollars to develop Avatar sex education video game for kids. A division of the National Institutes of Health is giving a professor at Yale School of Medicine $3.9 million over 5 years to develop a video game to teach sex, drug, and alcohol negotiations and refusal skills to children between the ages of 9 and 14. The game will feature virtual characters or avatars that must decide whether to engage in behaviors that put them at risk of being infected with HIV. This know also that in the last days, dangerous, hazardous, perilous times shall come. I also want to read this to you. Report says 36% of Americans like socialism. A Fox News poll released in February showed that 36% of the American people polled have a favorable opinion of socialism. perilous times are here. Also want to read this to you. Religious leaders undermine marriage in Iowa. An official with the Institute on Religion and Democracy says it is a sad sign of the times that a group of faith leaders in Iowa signed a document declaring their support for same-sex marriage. The letter was signed by more than 160 faith leaders and was presented to lawmakers during a news conference held by the Interfaith Alliance of Iowa. It says many faith traditions affirm that where there is love, the sacred is in our midst. And goes on to say, this belief is the same for couples comprised of a man and a woman, or two women, or two men. Last year, the Iowa Supreme Court struck down a law banning homosexual marriage in the Hawkeye State. Gentleman here with the IRD says, although the signers of the letter, represent what he calls a small percentage of the Christian community, some damage has been done. We're living in perilous times. Last thing I want to read to you is International Planned Parenthood's latest sex ed agenda. The Planned Parenthood Federation believes that children as young as 10 should be given extensive sex education, going so far as to recommend your preteen should have an awareness of sexual pleasure. That's according to a new Planned Parenthood report entitled Stand and Deliver, which also targets Christians and other conservatives, accusing them of imposing sexual barriers on their young children. We are living in perilous times. When the President of the United States can call off the National Day of Prayer at the White House, but at the same time bow down with Muslims, we're living in perilous times. When our government can meet in the Capitol building and not one time make a reference to God or turn to God in prayer for leadership and guidance, we're living in perilous times. The credibility of divine scriptures. I believe the Bible has credibility. We are living in those perilous times. They're here. They're here, church. They're here, church. Satan is using the television. He is using Disney movies. He is using so many different things, even through our educational system, to try to maul the mind of our children and try to get them astray away from the good old gospel truth. Perilous times are here. Second thing I want you to see is in verse 2 through 9, and that is the cause of the danger. I told you that perilous means danger, dangerous. When a nation turns from God, the Bible says that that nation that turns from God shall be turned into hell. The Bible says that the wicked shall be cut down as the blade of grass. He is a holy God, and that means that He will not allow unholiness to go on for too long. Yes, He's a merciful God. Yes, He's a God that will give space for repentance. Yes, He's a second, third, fourth chance God, and so on. But never forget that He is a holy God. And God hates sin. And I'll go a step farther tonight and say that God hates our sins. God hates our sins. Well, preacher, I agree. He sure does hate murder. Sure He does. Preacher, I agree. He sure does hate when people abduct children. When people can go and they can molest young children. God hates that. God hates all sin. I love you tonight, but I'm just going to be honest with you. When we don't read our Bible and pray, we've sinned. And God hates that sin. And you and I like never before, need the house of God. We need the people of God. We need the Word of God. The Bible says that forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? So much the more as you see the day approaching. That means the day is approaching. Jesus is returning. We're in the last hours of the last days. You need to be in church. I don't know why God's people who say they're saved can't get in their heads. They're supposed to go to church. They need to go to church, and they ought to have a longing to get to church. I don't want you here tonight to support me. I appreciate that. If that's the only reason you're here for the wrong reasons. I don't want you here because you missed Sunday and you feel bad. Wrong reason. I want you here because you want to be here. And you know you need to be here. And you know you have to be here. That's the three reasons I come. I want to, need to, and have to. Preacher, you mean you go to church because you have to? I believe that being a minister of the gospel, that if I do not set the example of being faithful to the local church and my support, attendance, whatever it may be, I believe that my children will grow up with that same mentality that the church is not that important. I have to go. I got two children watching Daddy. We make sure they don't miss the ball games. Make sure they don't miss the practice. It's amazing. Be sick on Sunday. I'm amazed at church. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling the truth tonight. Everybody can be sick on Sunday, but the parents can go to work on Monday. The kids can go to school on Monday. A miraculous recovery on Monday morning. It's amazing. I tell you, we need to get a love for church again. We're in dangerous times. And we're in dangerous times. We're in dangerous times. And we're living a day where folks just lay out of church for some of the smallest reasons now. Well, I'm tired, preacher. I wouldn't be worried about the physical strength you lack. I'd be worried about the spiritual strength you lack. That's what you need to be concerned with. Spiritual, not physical. The cause of the danger. The preacher, you sound passionate tonight. I am. My heart has been disturbed by reading these things. And I've even been awakened myself even more. And I need to awaken you by the help of the Lord that, hey, we're living in the dangerous days. We're living in dangerous days. The cause of the danger, verse 2. For men, if perilous times shall come, what is the cause of it, preacher? Why are they here? God predicted it, but they're not here because God predicted it. They're here for another reason. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And you go on there and just read all the way to verse number 5. I believe it's describing Flowery Branch. I believe it's describing Atlanta. I believe it's describing Georgia. I believe it's describing the United States of America. Dangerous times have been predicted. Dangerous times have been prophesied by the Scriptures. What causes this? What brings about the hazardous times we're living in? What brought about what our pastor just read about pushing the agenda of same-sex marriages and saying that the Christians should back off and allow the world to teach their children about sex? My daughter came home and she had a paper and for a thing, and I appreciate that they send it, but they wanted to talk, have a class, a one day or two day class on some things about the female body and the male body. They were going to separate the males and females, but they want to talk about that. And my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, well, she's not going to attend that. I don't want the world teaching my daughter about her body. I looked at her mom and I said, that's your job. I said, I don't want some other woman that don't really know my daughter to talk to her about having a period or puberty or whatever. I want my wife to do that. I'm going to run some other woman. I don't need that. They're not going to use the Bible and they're going to use the godly spirit to try to educate my daughter or my son. I don't my children don't need another parent. And there's just some things that I'm going to do. I'm your pastor. I'm your children's pastor. But there's some things that I'm not supposed to do. There's some things you need to be doing. You're the parent. I'm just the pastor. And so I tell you, we're living in dangerous times. You know I'm right tonight. We're living in wicked, wicked times. I suggest Justin is here tonight. Lauren's downstairs, but it'd be more or less Justin because of his the age group he teaches. But I would do my best to find out what your children are studying in school. Check out that science book. Check it out. Check out those things. Find out. I went through my daughter's science book when the school started. Did you, preacher? I went through the whole book. And I might get in trouble, but you know, I took a pen and marked some things out of it. Marked it out. I sure did. My daughter is too special and too precious to me for her to be taught that her ancestors hung by the tail from a tree. My Bible says that God created man in His own image. Yeah, I marked it out. I had a pen knife, I had to cut it out. Hallelujah. Doesn't bother me. I asked him every day, so how was school? What was taught today? Well, preacher, take it easy. Well, you go ahead and take it easy with your babies. I'm not. I'm building a wall around mine. I've got to protect them best I can. One day they'll be out on their own, and I'm going to do my best now that I have them. So, what is the cause of the dangerous times in our society? What is the cause of the perilous times? What is the cause? Well, it's a very simple three-letter answer. It's the word sin. Sin is the cause for all this danger. We're not living in perilous times because God said we was. God already knew it. What did God know? God knew that men would be sinful. When I say men, I'm talking about mankind. God knew that. He knew that men, all these things in verse 2 to verse 5, He is mentioning sin. They all go in the category of sin. The answer is sin. That is the cause of the danger that is all around us. Sin, sin, sin. I wrote these things down and I want you to listen to this. The reason we lock our doors is because of the sin of theft. The reason we have AA is because of the sin of drinking alcohol. The reason we have protection in our homes, alarms and guns, is because of the sin of murder. The reason we have teen pregnancy help centers is because of the sin of premarital sex. The reason we have police and laws is because of the sin of rebellion. The reason we have car rage is because of the sin of anger. A lot of the reasons that we have divorce courts today is because of the sin of unfaithfulness. I'm telling you tonight, the cause of all the danger that is around us is sin. Sin. And if we could ever get that in our heart and our mind, that sin is the reason for the dangerous times that our babies are being raised up in, it'll help us hate sin more than we've ever hated it. Sin is the cause for all the danger, for all the perilous times that we're in. Sin is the cause of the danger of cancer. Sin is the cause of the danger of heart attack, heart disease, despair, discontentment, destruction. Sin is the cause of the danger of death. Now, I'm not saying those that have cancer, those that have heart failure, disease, they have it because they sin. I'm just saying because of sin, all these things entered into the world. Sin is the problem. Sin is the cause. Why are we living in perilous times, church? Because of S-I-N, sin. Boy, sin is dangerous. And because it is dangerous, it causes dangerous times. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy your children. It will destroy your husband. It will destroy your wife. It will destroy your relationship with others. And then it will destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll go so far tonight to say sin will destroy your future in a place called the lake of fire. Sin is the cause of all the danger. Sin is the cause for all the danger. Children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because of sin. They murmured and complained and disobeyed. Sin. Sin. Sodom and Gomorrah melted from the fire and brimstone because of sin. There were dark days that are recorded in the book of Judges, and the children of Israel had to beg God to forgive them and send deliverers. Why? Because of sin. The Bible says in the book of Judges that every man did what was right in his own eyes. We are in that times right now in America. If you think it's okay to marry a man, who are we to say something? Go right ahead. If you think it's, if you're a lady and you think that, you know, that you need a sex change, or if you're a man, you need a sex change, and you want to go through that, then who am I to stop you? That's your opinion. That's whatever your preference is. That's why we're living in a day and age where they're using this word called hate crimes. And when a man of God cannot preach from the infallible Word of God, because if he preaches against homosexuality, if he preaches against same-sex marriages, it's hate crimes, it's hate speech. I'm telling you, it's not hate speech, it's Bible speech. And there's a difference between Bible speech and hate speech. I believe that you and I are to hate sin, but we are to love the sinner. You don't hate a homosexual because they're homosexuals. You don't hate a woman because she married a woman, or you don't hate a man because he married a man. You don't even hate a man because he murdered somebody you loved. You're not even supposed to hate somebody because they abducted and molested your own child. We're supposed to still love them, but we're supposed to hate that sin. I want to ask you tonight, do you really hate sin? What about that sin that you're involved with every single day? He said, preacher, it's not much to it. It's sin. And little sins lead to a little bigger sin, and next thing you know, you're involved in some big old sin. A sinful life starts with just one sin. The Babylonian captivity was because of sin. The Assyrian captivity that the children of Israel had to go to was because of sin. And I want to tell you something that you may be amazed and you may not really thought about. But the only reason that hell exists is because of sin. That's the only reason. Hell does not exist because God hates certain people. Hell does not exist because God doesn't care for certain people. Hell exists because of sin, and because of the sinner did not accept the remedy or the pardon for their sin. That's the reason there's a hell. If hell like we read of in the Bible, where the fire is never quenched, where right now some of my relatives are begging for a drop of water.
Really? Man.
Some of your relatives are right there in the midst of hell. And some of our relatives are heading as fast as they can go. And they'll never ever, a place of utter darkness, and they'll never have an opportunity to ever be saved. A place that you're totally separated from God. Hell exists. Why, preacher? Because of sin. Why does God people love it so much then? Why does God people hold on it so much then? Why does God's people not get cleansed of it then? If hell exists because of sin. The third thing I want you to see, and I must hurry, is the sin, the concern of sin's dwelling. The concern of sin's dwelling. Those first five verses, there's various sins that are mentioned. And we know as we read this that we know that the world is involved with these sins. We spoke earlier that the world is heavily involved in these sins. They're, every day they're involved in these sins. That's their life. But we need to say that and understand tonight that the very sins that are mentioned here is the very sins that you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, the saints, the redeemed, the Christian, can be involved in also. Oh, wow. You may be saved, but you sure ain't perfect. And these same sins that are mentioned here are some same sins that you and I can find ourselves involved in.
Really?
The concern, that's why I call it the concern of sin's dwelling. Every sin mentioned in chapter 3 can be in the lives of God's own people. Christians are not perfect, and we should not think that we'll never do these things. Preacher, those things are filthy. I'll never be like that. The concern of sin's dwelling. You and I need to be aware tonight that sin can overtake our life. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, sin can overtake your life as a Christian. Sin must be dealt with quickly, and sin must be dealt with wholly. You can't play with sin. You can't say, I'll do it later, or I'll do it Sunday morning, or I'll do it whenever I get through what I'm going through, preacher. You've got to deal with sin quickly. You've got to root it up by the roots. You've got to get rid of sin and confess that and receive God's pardon. And you can't have compassion for sin. You can't love your sin. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David was saying, if I regard iniquity. He didn't say if I commit iniquity. He said if I regard it. People say, I send you my regards. If I regard, if I hold on to it, if I treat it as if it's something special, if I treat it as something that means a lot to me, if I regard it, in other words, if I don't confess it, if I don't seek for repentance, I regard it. Regard. The root word is guard. You guard that sin as if it's something precious, a precious possession. If you regard it in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And then the last thing that I want to say in closing is not only the credibility of the Scriptures, then we see the cause of the danger. Perilous times are here. What's the cause? Sin. Sin is the reason. Sin is the reason. Sin is the reason. Then number 3, we see the concern of sin's dwelling. You and I are to be concerned that sin can dwell in us too. We got to get concerned about this thing. We got to quit playing games. We got to get concerned about sin's dwelling. Sin will take a hold of you and it won't let go. The song says that it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. But the last thing is, thank the Lord, is the conquest of sin's domination. Sin will dominate your life if you're not careful. The conquest of sin's domination. Look at verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I just stop here for a moment and make a comment? Paul is saying to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, Timothy, you were saved by the Lord through the preaching that I gave. God used me, Timothy, to be your spiritual father. You were saved under my ministry. I've tried to care for your soul. I've tried to teach you the Word of God. I've tried to be an example. He says you need to continue in those things that you've learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul is saying he's not being arrogant or cocky there. He is saying that, yes, you've learned them from me, but I've learned them from the Lord. Come straight from the throne of God. I don't want your praise tonight, but if you've been saved under my ministry, or you've been drawn close to the Lord under my ministry, I've tried to care for your soul. I've tried to teach you the truth. And shame on anybody in this church that will turn aside the things that I've tried to teach. I've never had anybody come to me in 10 years of pastoring or before I pastored and said, Preacher, I found some Bible in what you taught, and I found that what you taught was error, and I've got Bible for it. Spend too much time in the Word. Growed up around preachers. You're looking at a man that's got a lot of preacher friends. Look at a man that God has blessed and let him preach a lot of places, and I've seen some people saved. I'm not a perfect man, but I do know when I am touched of God, God uses me. Continue in the things I've taught you. Is that too hard to ask you? I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't given you anything that you could continue in your growing, you need to find another church. I'll just be honest with you. You need to find another church. And if I don't believe anybody can leave here and say, I don't get fed at Open Door. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I hear it too much. You go to Open Door, you get fed. It's a big deal to me. Preaching is a big deal to me. Teaching is everything to me. And I'm not here for your money. This pastor's turned down 3 raises in the last 2.5 years. I'm not here for your money. I'm here to see you saved. I'm here to see you grow in the Lord. You know I love your family. I just want to see you get in touch with God and do something great for God. Continue in the things you've been taught from the Word of God, from the men of God, and even your Sunday school teachers, whoever it may be, continue in those things. And that from a child, verse 15, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Some of you have been blessed that even as a child you were taught the Word of God. You went to church. Continue in that. I know everybody is placing doubt on the Bible now, and they're trying to disprove it every single day, and we're in perilous times, but just keep keeping on. Just keep trusting God's Word. Put your faith in the Bible. He says they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then it says, I love this, all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The Word of God is profitable. I wish God would put in our hearts that whenever we leave our Bibles in a pew, or whenever we think we're going to throw it on the dash and let the sun bake the cover of it, that those Scriptures, those 3 words would come up in our mind, the Scriptures are profitable. You wouldn't throw your cash, your jewelry, stuff like that, because it's profitable to you. You wouldn't throw your stocks and bonds. You wouldn't do that. You guard those things. Why? They're profitable. Or you hope they are. The Scriptures are profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You and I need to be instructed in righteousness. We need to be reproved. We do. You may not amen that, but I'm right in the Bible. I'm right because the Bible teaches it. We need to be reproved. We need to be corrected. And we need instruction. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The conquest of sin's domination. How can we experience this conquest of sins in our life? How can we experience that victory? Four simple things. Simple. Number one, we got to study and read the Scriptures. I want to ask you this, and I don't want any amens, Steve or anybody. Don't amen me. I want to ask you this. How many of you really read and study your Bible? How many of you really read and study that Bible? How many of you cross-reference? How many of you, when you read a verse, you say, that word just doesn't make sense there. Those three, that phrase there, I don't understand that. Well, maybe a preacher preaching on it sometime. How many of you take a concordance or a dictionary or a Bible dictionary and you look up words or and you try to cross-reference? Do you really read and study the Bible? If you want conquest over sin, you're going to have to read and study. Study and read the Word of God. Number two, we're going to have to saturate ourselves in the Scriptures. You guys, just that saturate. David put it this way. He said that God's Word have I hid in my heart. He said, I got it hid. And he's not talking about that organ that's the size, a little over the size of a fist that pumps blood through the body. He's talking about his inner being, his life. He said, I've hid God's Word in my life that I might not sin against God. He said, I've saturated myself. He said, I'm saturated with the Word of God. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to saturate ourselves and read it, saturate ourselves. The third thing, if you want the conquest of sin's domination, you need to stay on your knees. You need to study and read the Scriptures. You need to saturate yourself in the Scriptures. And you're going to have to stay on your knees. I know that this is going to be on the internet here in 2 or 3 days, and I know people's going to hear it. No telling where in this world, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Praying to me sometimes is such a hard thing to do. You don't have to amen, because I know you pray all the time. Morning, evening, and noon you pray like David did. I know. But I don't. I spend time with the Lord, but I know I could. There's just days that I get busy doing good things. I do. Good things. Got to go to the hospital, got to go to the nursing home, got to visit, I've got to study, I've got this to do, got to make phone calls. I had two times a day, I was on the phone with counseling, and I'm just doing good things. But then the Holy Ghost of God reminds me when I lay down at night, I wish He wouldn't do this, but He's the Holy Spirit. Lee, you did a lot of good things, but you forgot the right thing. You forgot to pray like you ought to. I'm not talking about, Lord, thank you for this salad and this Diet Coke. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do we ask God to bless the food for anyway? One time I went to Bojangles and I had a biscuit, a sausage biscuit. I said, Lord, I pray you bless this sausage biscuit. And the Holy Spirit of God, just like that, He says, bless that sausage biscuit. What kind of blessing do you want me to give that sausage biscuit? I said, man, that's a dumb prayer. And I said, Lord, bless my body as I partake of this food, that my body may be used for Thy service. Oh, it's more than just praying, thanking God for a food or right before you're about to hit somebody in the rear end because you weren't paying attention. God, help me. And you survive. You lay down. I talked to God today. It's more than that. It's staying on our knees. It's staying on our knees. We got to do that. Do we got problems? Do we got folks in our church with they're facing problems? Do we? The reason Morgan is doing so well now is because you, along with so many other people, got on your knees and prayed for her. The reason my daughter's going to continue to be cancer-free is because people like you and And my friends are going to stay on their knees.
Right.
The reason people's going to get saved at this church is because people in this church stay on their knees. God will bless all our ministers here because there'll be some people that will stay on their knees. We've got to stay on our knees and we've got to bow our heads and ask for Holy God to help us. And then the last thing, if we're going to have conquest over sin's domination, we not only study and read the Scriptures, but not only saturate ourselves with the Scriptures, we not only stay on our knees, but we've got to support the local church. We've got to support the local church. Preacher, you ain't going to get on money again, are you? No, I'm not going to say anything about money. I'm going to talk about supporting it with attendance. Supporting it by being in your spot. There's going to be enough times where you got to work late. There's going to be enough times where you're sick. There's going to be enough times that you'll be down at the funeral home and you're going to miss church because of those reasons. And they're completely understandable. You're going to miss enough church because of those reasons. But the problem is when we start using excuses to miss church. I believe people miss church mainly because of two things. Because of number one, they had a reason. Or number two, they had an excuse. Why people miss. They had a reason or they had an excuse. We need to support the local church. We need to do that. Preacher, what's such a big deal? I'm a product of the local church. I was raised up in the local church. I was saved because of the local church. I was called to preach because of the local church. I faced problems with my head held up high because of the prayers of the local church. My job involves the local church. My children love the local church. My children can't wait to come. I mean, three times a week, they want to go to church. My life at the Benton home is the local church. Love its activities. I love it. Can't go to everything at all times, but I love it. We need to support the local church. You'll be amazed what will happen to you the more you come to church, how you'll grow in the grace and knowledge. Because what happens at the local church, if it's the right kind of local church, you'll hear the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you'll be amazed how you'll get encouraged. The very time that you decide to stay home because you're discouraged or in despair, maybe the very time that if you'd have been there, somebody stood up and testified about something that would have struck the chords in your heart and would have encouraged you. And you'd have left out of here encouraged, but you're still at home discouraged. But if you'd have came to church, it might would have changed your outlook. The problem with our outlook is we don't have the uplook. If you get the uplook, it'll change your outlook. And where are you going to get the uplook at down at the local church? We've never sung a country song in this church. Willie's never came and sung for us. He'd have to have a haircut before he did that. We've never had to have Reba. We've never had Bon Jovi or Metallica come and have us a rock and roll concert. Never. When you turn to that Baptist hymnal there, you're not going to find on page 222, "All my exes live in Texas." You're not going to find on page 400, "Paradise City." You're going to find, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Keep on the firing line." You're going to find songs that will give you an uplook. No one's ever sung here songs that doesn't give you the uplook. It's all about Jesus. That's why I love church, because it's all about God. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. The messages, the teaching, the preaching helps you get an uplook. And when you get the uplook, it'll change your outlook. If something's wrong with your outlook, it's because you don't have the uplook. And at the church is where you'll get the uplook. We need to support the local church. May God help us in these last days, or I should say the last hours of the last days we live, that we understand as God's people we are in perilous times. We're in dangerous times. We're in wicked, wicked times. But I'm glad that the world will not have the last say. I'm glad that one day the Bible says that Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Book of Ephesians tells us that one day we'll come back for the Lord after we've been judged on why we did what we did for Him. We'll be cleansed from all sin. We'll be sinless, and we'll come back at the tribulation period. And the Bible says that He will present us a church, a body, unblemished, without sin. And we're going to rule and reign. We're going to rule and reign. I like what Wendell put on the sign. We still trust in God, not in government. My trust in God. My trust is not in the President of these United States. My trust is not in the House of Representatives or the Senate. My trust is in God Almighty. And it is Almighty God that will carry us through. Thank God that even though we are in perilous times, that right after the perilous times are over, we'll be entering a precious time with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll never have to read little clippings of stupidity again. We'll never have to read about sin anymore. Thank God for that. We are living in perilous times. God help us as the local church here at Open Door, that we stay right with God and we do our part. We do our part to get folks to Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.